Then in Queensland first, a child's biological mother de facto partner will be listed on the birth certificate instead of the biological father or sperm donor under the recent changes to state laws that give more rights to same-sex couples.
Now joining us to discuss this is Katrina Ohner from Ohner Family Law. Good afternoon, Katrina.
Hi guys, how are you?
Look, very well. So what were the changes to the law that brought this about?
Oh look, basically because same-sex couples are now recognised as being a de facto couple, that is the change they're talking about. So it's not, I mean, those changes have been in place for a little while now, although they are fairly recent. So that's what they're talking about. And because same-sex couples are legally recognised as a de facto couple, you know, this application has been brought about in the Supreme Court by this couple, seeking that, you know, that both women's names appear on the birth certificate rather than the biological father.
It's interesting, Katrina, though, but if you remove the biological father from that information, is that then not a correct document?
No, if it's been court ordered, then it is a correct document. So you can make applications to the Supreme Court to change records like that on documents such as birth certificates. Mm. So as long as it's, I mean, you can only change it legally if you do obtain a court order. So as a matter of law, it's recognised as a correct document. But in future, I guess, for that child, there'll be questions later on when the child sees the birth certificate as to, you know, who the biological father was, if the child or children had not already been told.
Now, regardless of laws relating to same-sex couples, does it smack of rewriting history a little bit? Because it does seem that it's not actually the truth, even if it's politically correct.
Yes. Yeah, look, you're right in that respect, and that's where the whole moral debate kicks in, and people have very strong views on that. Some people think that it's really bad that, you know, that's able to happen in terms of the change of name on a birth certificate, and other people might take the view that the judge took in this case, which was that the change in name reflected, in fact, the reality of the children and how their lives were lived. In other words, they didn't know who the biological father was, and all they knew was that these two women were their parents. Mm. So it does raise these, you know, this debate, which is always, you know, a hot debate, and there's really no middle ground.
Is there an avenue then for that child to then later on, as you said, they'll grow up and see two people of the same sex on their birth certificate, then will they have the avenue to find out who their biological mother or father is?
Yeah, look, that becomes really tough because until a child turns 18, they don't really have the legal standing to make their own application, you know, to a court or to some sort of organisation to find out. I mean, that's the short answer. You know, most children will ask, you know, the parents that they live with. And sometimes parents have already told them and sometimes they haven't. But they'd really have to wait, if they haven't been told, until after they were 18 to be able to sort of have a good go at finding out who the biological parent was.
Well, do you think this will become commonplace, Katrina?
I think so. Look, there's a lot of same-sex couples conceiving children in this way, and there are a lot of matters on in the family court. So this matter was decided by the Supreme Court because it was to do with, you know, the birth certificate issue. But in that case, the actual biological fathers actually made a separate application in the family court seeking contact with the children. I think there's two children.
Right.
So we do see a lot of cases actually in the family court where things go wrong, where, I mean, in the case that you're speaking of, this guy was found on some website, he wasn't a friend of these women. Whereas in many cases that we see in the family court, the man is actually a friend, right, of these women, and then they have an agreement between them that, look, you know, we want a child, and he agrees to help and says, look, I guarantee I don't want to have any contact, and, you know, the child's yours and that type of thing. And then what happens is after the birth, the biological father changes his mind. And we see a lot of that in the family court where, subsequent to whatever their arrangement was, the father then decides he wants an active role in the child's life.
Mm.
So it is becoming more and more common. You know, and in terms of, you know, issues arising afterwards. So this issue of the birth certificate being changed, now that that case has been decided, will also become more and more common.
Yeah, well, like family law, though, Katrina, one a definite rule doesn't fit all cases, so each individual case would have to be heard separately, yeah?
That's right. That's exactly right. It is very fact-specific, so the cases are just precedents and authorities that can be relied on, but the family dynamics of each case are always different, and, you know, one particular fact that's different in one family might result in a different result overall. So, yeah, you're right. It is very fact-specific, which is why parties need to seek advice, I guess, you know, every time they sort of make a decision like this, because, you know, in these types of complicated matters, there are potential down the road for problems to arise that aren't anticipated from the beginning.
Will you be able to access the two documents? Will one just be preset? One will be gone. So if a child says, I want my original birth certificate and then the one that was adapted to change.
Look, to be honest, I'm not sure as to the answer to that. Mm. The Registry of Births, Deaths and Marriages sort of holds all those records. I would suspect that they would hold the records for a certain period of time, like the original records, but I don't know if they'd hold them forever, to be honest. But I don't know the answer to that.
Mm. Okay, so it's that kind of situation, Katrina, where these laws are actually being developed as we speak, aren't they, because of the individual cases?
That's right. And then the case law changes all the time, which then changes, you know, what advice a lawyer might give a client in that regard. So because it is an ever, you know, evolving sort of changing area of the law, it does make things difficult. And changing governments often result in the laws changing and cases being decided differently as well.
Well, thank you for the latest on those rules, Katrina.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate your time. Katrina Ohner from Ohner Family Law here on Afternoons on News Talk 4BC. Plenty to discuss there, 13 13 32, if you'd like to have your input here on Afternoons.
Tell us what you think.